amount of time. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. They are life. They are life. They have life in them and power. Trust your words in the gospel. The sword of the Lord and Gideon. Trust that which speaks to you with power to speak to somebody else. It's all you have, plus prayer and a good example. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning as to who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. It's another thing on my mind I want just to mention that I am learning. That as a pastor, if you want to have mercy on your people, right? Is you want your people saved. And it's the one thing I'm learning is I take from the book of Matthew in chapter 15 of the Syrophoenician woman who came unto the master and said, "Have mercy on me. My daughter is possessed by a devil." So as we have mercy on me is our attitude. As we think about, as we teach our people, "Lord, have mercy on me by sparing them." That's a good attitude. That is one way to get your people to hear the gospel. It's to plead with God on behalf of your own soul. That I'm miserable if you don't save them. I need you to do this for somebody else. I need you to give them what I'm experiencing with power. I can't just keep this unto myself. My compassion in my belly, it won't allow me. And the commands of Scripture and the good examples of others compel me to prayer. "Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on them. I'm pleading with you. I'm begging you myself." That's heart of preaching. Because as pastors, as Christians, as believers, if we only have 3 weapons: preaching and prayer and practice. It's our holy life. That's all we've got. But we've got to get the people the message. And our words can't change. They have to be spiritual because they are life. But, verse number 64, there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe. Just because a man believes now, it doesn't mean that he believes always. Because he didn't ever truly believe at all. And he knew who would betray him. I apologize, but let's look in the book of Matthew, chapter number 15. This is on my mind still. Verse number 22. Matthew 15:22. This is talking about prayer and pleading with God on behalf of people.
And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out unto him. It's in her soul, but you can't fake it. Is you have to cry out unto God for a crying out heart that's unto other people. Is I have to pray in order to be able to pray. I can't approach God and pretend I care. I have to ask Him to give me a caring heart. And then I'll cry out unto God. As to when you saw the gospel, didn't you get love inside your heart for other people? And the first thing that you wanted to do after you got saved was tell somebody else about Jesus? Is we have to keep that power. And so that we're not just caring about preaching. We're caring about souls. That's unto the glory of God. And she cried out, unto him. She isn't even crying out unto her daughter. There is a time for preachers to preach the gospel. But when Peter said that we will give ourselves continually unto prayer, he's talking about crying out unto God on behalf of people also. Saying, have mercy on who? Me. It hurts me. It's agony unto me. O Lord, help me. Son of David, O great king, my daughter. My people, my church is severely demon possessed. They have ungodly and unholy lives and they cannot hear the gospel. It actually bores them to death. Cry out unto God for your children. They are bored of the gospel. And they can't hear it, and they don't want to hear it, and they don't want to even be here to hear the gospel. Cry out for them unto God. The mercy is for you and me on behalf of them. And He'll hear you on behalf of somebody that is His elect. And then you can read the whole story of as to how he didn't answer her. He called her a dog, but she persevered in faith and she got what she wanted. And she had great faith. Because as an unworthy nobody, she still trusted God because she needed Him. And believed He'd do it with power. Let's go back, please, into John 6. As we have to speed up, as I'm always saying. Verse number 64. But there are some of you who do not believe. What a shame and a travesty. If anybody's here who does not believe, after this month of preaching with power and teaching in the Holy Spirit, the things of the Holy Spirit, I'm ashamed for you. These things are to be believed right now. They're true. And they're real. And they're powerful. And they get to the heart by faith if you have a heart that's pleased with God. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe. That's why he was talking unto him in the way he did. Don't seek the bread of this world, but the bread of life. The bread that came down from heaven, that is God's Son, Christ Jesus. He opened up his conversation with, you guys aren't even seeking me or the right thing.
And who would betray him? Oh, poor Judas, in everlasting hell, and it's his fault only. He had every chance and every opportunity to hear the gospel and to demonstrate its power. And he said, therefore, since you're in the flesh, since a man like Judas has every opportunity to hear the gospel and to see the power of God and to taste the bread of life and to eat and to drink his blood, and he hasn't tasted it, he hasn't eaten, he's slimy, he's after something else, he's carnal, he loves the world, he's all about that money in the bag. After all those sermons, he's interested in the bag, in the money, in what he could get out of the preacher, his pocket, instead of his own soul. That's a carnal man that's at enmity with God. And that's every unsaved man right now. Every last one is after this world. And they're going to perish in hell. For no other reason than their foolishness. Because God is teaching and he's doing the talking. And he said, therefore, I have said to you, that's why, that no one has the ability, no one can come unto me, no one can be saved unless it has been granted unto him by my Father. God Almighty has to work a miracle, and that's what I'm waiting on. That's what I'm working towards. Is I want God to show me God's people. And from that time, look what the word says. How many? Many of his disciples, of his church attendees, went back and walked no more with him. What does that mean? What's that teaching us? We're going to have to suffer to preach his gospel. And we are not here to hold the crowd. I'm not to do anything to keep you coming back except preach the gospel and love you and pray. That's the only weapon that I've got. No show in the flesh, no proud band, just a bunch of proud band members that are singing songs in the flesh just to keep the crowd coming. No way. We worship God. And I don't care if you use the hip-hop instruments, if you got the bass guitar, if you use the traditional. The traditional is my favorite music in Nigeria. It gets down. But you worship God. Every lyric of every song we work. We're not here for the flesh. We are here to please God, that he might begin to draw in somebody. I did not keep you coming. It was God who kept you coming. And the power is in his word. And the loving heart of his preachers. It's real. That's what we're counting on. And if they walk away because of the gospel, the more power unto them if they can meet God on some other terms. If they think that they can, they got to be pretty strong. But as a weak and helpless sinner, I'm going to come by the gospel. I'm going to keep on believing it and preaching it no matter what. If it empties the church,
then God forbid me and you to change it even a word. If they hurt you, if they hate you, if they take away your salary, don't change a word. Just keep on preaching it in more love. Shed more tears in private. Preach with compassion and pity out of your heart. And rebuke them strongly. And tell them the truth on God. And hope God works a miracle. We're not compromising for any reason. Even if the whole crowd walks away. If I lose
my money over anything I'm preaching, let it be lost. I'm not preaching for money. I'm preaching for God. It's old William Huntington, and he was a great preacher. And he was going to be baptized, and I'm a Baptist. I believe in baptism. It is for believers. It's in the Bible. And so he was going to be baptized. And he heard a voice inside of his conscience, his soul, saying, "Why are you going to be baptized?" And he said, "For 40 pounds a year." His answer was, "Lord, I'm going to get baptized, not because I believe it with conviction, but to get a job at this Baptist church." And he then refused to do it. Now, I would tell him out of Scripture, get baptized, sir. It's scriptural. Believer's baptism. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. What does hinder me from being baptized? If you believe it on your heart. Being baptized as a baby means nothing. It's a command making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's how a disciple is made. He confesses in the water of baptism, "I'm a new creation." But the conviction he didn't have inside of his heart. And so for him to obey it in order to get a job, it would have been wrong. Me and you are not preaching for 40 pounds a year. We're preaching for God. And that will be your rewarder. And when God is your rewarder, our rewarder, oh, how rewarded mean you are. How full. I feel like I can stand and fight with the devil when I got God on my side. And the assurance and the boldness and the peace and the joy, these things that men despise, they're everything in this world. And so Galatians 1, verse number 10. If you know anybody over where Bulus lives, you can hold your hand up. It's a meeting there on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, right? And if you know anyone that's in that area, but I'll be preaching in Galatians 1. But verse number 10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Who am I really talking to? Who am I really preaching for? Who am I really pleasing? For if I still please men, I would not be the slave of Christ." Who are you really in the ministry for? Who are you controlled by? Are you a man pleaser? Your hand out. Every preacher that has his hand out, it ought to be chopped off. And you lift your hands up. And you beg your bread from God.
And if he feeds you, you're fed.
And if he doesn't, that's his responsibility.
And he wanted you to die hungry and bring you into heaven. I've looked at the door of death, but after it opens, there's a bright light. It's a dark, ugly door, but after it opens, it's a bright light. Don't fear death. And don't fear any man. And preach the gospel. And our reward will come from God. And he'll fill our souls, and we shall be satisfied, and we will be happy, and we'll have control over our bodies, and be the servants and the slaves of God Almighty instead of man. It's a miserable master is man. A man that's afraid of his church is a bad man in a bad position.
But a man that will come and preach the gospel, how free he is. As old Henry Mahan would say, this is a free pulpit. And in the U.S., it was some bloodshedding to get our rights. But as to what he really means is he's going to say whatever God says no matter what. And he became a great preacher for that reason. He'd say it, he could see it, and he'd say it with love. But this is a free pulpit. And we are not compromising for the people. Nice to see you, sir. Back to John 6, please. You've missed most of the meat, but there's a little bit that's on the bone. And after we finish, it's some snacks. Verse number 67, then Jesus said unto the 12, do you also want to go away? It's my last point is this. But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, unto whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I am stuck on you. If you're in the bush, and then you're walking around, and you look, and on the clothes, you got these things that are just, it could be some thorns or something, it's just stuck on you. That's how I'm stuck on Jesus. Whatever you say, Lord, you got the words of eternal life. You got words that speak inside of my soul with peace and with power. And the truth. Your blood is real drink. Oh, your body is real food. That bread as to which you give, I experience it. It's in my soul. Also, we have come to believe and to know experiential power that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. There is
going to be a group of people in your church who believe God. Some are going to walk away. But these who believe God are going to love your gospel ministry, and they are going to eat it up.
And you can't get rid of them. They're stuck on the gospel. They love it.
It's in their heart. They feast on it. They gravitate towards it. They need it. But they come saying, Pastor, preach unto me the word. Tell me the whole truth. And glorify Christ. And give nothing unto me. I want Jesus. And they'll feast on the bread of life until they die. And then they'll go to be with him in paradise after he raises them. This is gospel. It will save God's elect. God the Father does have a people. Then think about yourselves as to what you are hearing and believing. How many thought this was possible unto you and me? I had never heard the gospel in my life, and I was a preacher, false prophet, on my way to hell, preaching works. And I heard it one day. It was in a conference. And changed my life. Now I'm stuck on the scriptures and preaching Christ. I'm stuck. I can't get away. I've had my falls. I've had my weaknesses. I can't get away from it. I got nowhere else to go. How about you?
This gospel, and do you have anywhere else that you can go? Is there any other gospel that you can preach or that you can listen to? Like Judas? Or are you like Peter? And you are stuck on Jesus in the truth of the gospel of God's life. I'm stuck. How about you? I'm stuck. Verse number 71. And I just want to assure you that you're going to have a people if you've been called by God. It's going to bear fruit. It may take years. It may take a lot of suffering. It took Mr. William Carey 7 years. In India, as I believe it took Mr. Adoniram Judson up to 7 years. It's another man, as he was a missionary, it took him up to 7 years just to get their first convert. But they got real ones, and they stuck on Jesus. They stuck. So be encouraged. Verse number 71. I'm finished. This has been an excellent time. Excellent conference. Excellent seminar. It's been excellent in the listening. And the attendance is great. And so Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? That's why you're still here. That's why you are stuck on Jesus. And one of you is a devil. He's just here to make sure that my purposes are known in my crucifixion. I have to be betrayed by my own familiar friend according unto the scripture. And so I had to choose him too. But his purpose is to go to hell because he has rejected this gospel over and over. He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. But the last thought that I want to leave you with is this.
Your people will hear the gospel if they've been appointed by God. And you don't have to change anything. You just have to preach from your heart with power. And they will hear it. And they will thank you. And they will love you. And they will support you. With power. They'll get jobs from God just to feed your belly. And you'll teach them about giving. And you'll take away. In the New Testament, there's no tithing. There is no tax. I'm not a leader. I'm a preacher, and I can work with my own hands. It's like Paul. But your people will learn to give to support the gospel, because that's been commanded by Scripture. And they will give because of grace. And the preaching is grace. It'll open their hearts. It'll open up their pockets. Well, the Lord bless you. This has been a really good conference. It's a seminar. And are there any questions here as we conclude? Any questions or anything that is the people want to say?
Me, I've already been thanked. So thank you. And you're welcome. But if there's anything that you want to say or ask, is we have about 5 to 10 minutes. And then afterwards, I'm not sure where, but we have some snack and drink. And I don't know as to where we're going to eat it.